they're kind of like floating on like a piece of wood in the sea of blood. And
this is where Jim, this is where Jim Cameron got this from. He was watching House 2 and he was like, this is it. This is the end of my movie.
Done.
I like that fan theory. That would make me like it better.
Honestly, me too. Me too.
Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide, Disco Citizens, the podcast where gorehounds
and best friends, Terry Gamble
and Julia Marchesi, break down a different horror movie each week,
exploring a multitude of genres, subgenres,
and sub-subgenres,
classic and cult,
international
and underground flicks alike, determining which films are the goriest,
and offering up Horror Movie Survival Guide tips
to help you stay alive.
Ohayo gozaimasu! Hello, Disco Citizens and Horror Movie Survival Guide listeners. I am Julia.
I'm Terry.
And this week we are talking about 1977's Houssou, which I will say as Houssou throughout this entire movie because I think of House, I think of the William Catt 1980s movie. So I'm like, no, this is Houssou. This is how it's...
Well, I also think of House and I think of the TV show House, which is what comes up first when you pull up House on IMDb. But for those of you at home, you can call it either way. Original title is Houssou, according to IMDb. But if you're looking it up, it's House 1977.
Yes. So the title of this episode is You're So Cool, Kung Fu. And the tagline for this movie is House is calling you. Come back home and marry me. Okay. Written by Chigumi Obayashi and Chiho Katsura and directed by Nobuhiko Obayashi. This is going to blow your fucking mind. This is the feature film debut for this director. He'd done like short stuff, but this was his feature film debut. Can you fucking imagine?
My mouth is on the floor. I cannot. It's so good. It's so weird. It's so wonderful. I'm obsessed. This is my new favorite camp classic. It's not new, Avi, because it's before me, but it's amazing. So weird. So wonderful. Julia got to watch me see this for the first time. And the look on her face, I kept having to pause because I was like, wait, what? Wait, what? And you're like, this isn't even the first part yet. And I'm like, oh, God, we're just starting. I was like 2 minutes in and I was like, OK, I'm in. What the heck is happening here?
I was very lucky because I got to see this movie for the first time on a big screen with a full audience who were super, super into it. So that's like the ultimate way to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And I will guarantee you, if you have not seen this, it is unlike any movie you have ever seen.
Correct.
There's no way you could come up with this in your brain because it doesn't exist in anybody's brain except this one guy. And that's why I love it. Like, I don't even know what this is. And I love that. I'm like, there's no rules. It's all over the place. It's every genre. It doesn't give a fuck. It looks beautiful. It's really like subversive and weird. And it has an animated title card. So I'm on board right away.
It's so stylized. Like it's just, it really is a pastiche. It's so many different things just all rolled up into one and just a fun, delightful, you just never know what you're going to get next from moment to moment adventure. So yeah. So we start off with these, you know, beautiful, cute little schoolgirl, pretty ladies with candles. And their friend is taking pictures and she's like, hurry, hurry. I'm trying to do this like spooky, cool picture. I was like, oh my God, how cute is that? Them doing this fun photo shoot. And their names are Fantasy and Gorgeous. I mean, come on.
I know all the names in this movie are on point.
Yeah. And one of them has a summer house. And so they're talking about summer vacation and what they're going to be doing. And they end up talking about their, you know, their amazing teacher walks by and she's smoking hot. Their teacher in the red tracksuit. And she's about to get married. And so she's, you know, talking about that. And the girls are like, oh, is he nice? What's he like? And, you know, just having a cute little conversation. And Gorgeous gets to go home to hang out with her father. And she's really excited about that till she gets there.
This rooftop fantasy backlot dream soundstage is fantastic. And the movie doesn't care. The movie doesn't care that you think it's weird, right? It's just like, okay, you just have to accept it because it's going to get like, that is the least weird thing about this movie, honestly.
True. It's giving me like, it reminded me, I just felt like I was like, oh, this is like Terrorvision and Soft Focus. You know what I mean? They're like this, like the yard is like giving me that kind of like energy. So beautiful and just luminous and just like pink sky. Background and just like this little terrace that they're hanging out on. And Gorgeous meets her father's new intended. We've got a companion, a beautiful woman in white enters. And she has to be friends.
Yes, she is walking in with some crazy soft focus, slow motion scarf flowing.
Flowing in the wind, like Beyonce wind. Yes.
Yes. And so Gorgeous is not happy about that. So
yeah, her dad says she's going to be your mom. And she's like, and no.
Just swung that on me. And we're about to go away for vacation. And you want me to go with this weird lady. So she goes to cry in her room. She does a Sailor Moon spin and changes clothes. And we had to rewind it. I was like, wait, did that just happen? And we're like, yep, that's just what happened. And you're just supposed to accept that that's okay in this universe. You can just Sailor Moon spin into a new clothes. You go, okay. Because as Show Terry will tell you, it throws you at every step. And you're like, what fucking universe am I in?
You think you're settling into it. And then you're like, oh, wait, nope, just kidding. That's not the movie. I'm signed up for something else entirely. And so Gorgeous talks to her mom via picture, her deceased mother. And it looks like her mom had a similar vibe. Like she has a white scarf kind of around her neck, like the new lady does. Like I was like, oh, it really looks like she's like, you know, stepping into this. And she gets really furious and she talks about how she hates her dad and she feels abandoned by him. And so, you know, she'd rather, you know, think about somebody like Mr. Togo and he's so manly and handsome. And she runs back to her friends.
Yes, so we meet Mr. Togo, who is the teacher that everybody thinks is hot, and I'm so on board that this is the guy that they all think is hot. I'm like, yes, this guy is never the guy that people think is hot. This is the comic relief guy all the time, and this is like, no, he's like leading.
No, but we think he's hot. I was like, he would be the guy that we would think was hot. Like, if you're a smart schoolgirl, like he's your guy.
He's like the cool, relaxed teacher. He's not like, you know, like a preppy nerd.
No, he looks like a cool, I was like, he looks like, I don't know, like a cool revolutionary. Like he has that kind of vibe about him. Like he looks really smart and really fun. And so they all like, you know, he about him. So Gorgeous, she wants to go, you know, to her aunt's house instead. She's like, hey, instead of going with my dad, I'm going to go visit my aunt. I haven't seen her since my mom died. And I know she probably misses me and I've wrote to her. And she would like to see me. She told me to come see her, come to her house. So,
She already seems quite bewitched when we see her here. So there's already been whatever transaction was taking place has already taken place.
And the letter seems to magically get there too. That comes back to her, like the way it gets to her. Yeah. It's strange. So you're
there's
just like,
a white cat maybe showing up or something like that. And then there's so Gorgeous is already under the spell. And she tells them that they should all come to the house, which they all get bewitched as well. And so Auntie said, and then we get into
our Monkeys musical montage. Yes, it looks like the Monkeys. I like wrote down, like, it reminds me of the Monkeys TV show, which is probably why Julia loves this as well, because I know that's like definitely in our wheelhouse as far as like touchstones of culture. And there's like,
well, every movie's candy with the dance number.
Yes, we get dancing. We get Mr. Togo falling on his butt, falling in down some stairs and landing in a bucket, and then someone playing the drums, like his butt, the butt bucket, like drums, like it's.
But he has to go to the hospital because his butt, he can't get it off his butt. So it's amazing. Well, you know, I love musical numbers and this is just so out of left field. And again, it's smacking you around. Be like, you thought you knew what this movie is. Ha ha. Fucking musical number. Take that. Like just out of nowhere. Right. Which I love. I love musicals, but I also love when non-musicals slap you in the face with a musical number. They're like, hey, you didn't think there's going to be a musical number. Here it is. And that, it gives me such delight. So we have our musical number here. You said it's a chocolate candy bread.
Chocolate candy bread, love and dreams is what I wrote. Yeah, that's what's like kind of happening on the, as they're on this train ride with like backdrops. Like they're getting like those old movie timey backdrops like behind them and stuff like that too. Like clearly, like again, doesn't give a fuck that it does not look real. So it looks like they're going like a magical mystery tour, right? Yeah.
We have met all of this little crew of characters and everybody's got their little name that describes what they are. So they're all super cute and it's all very, it feels very like almost childlike in its joy here. Like we don't really get any sense of the doom because they seem so anime.
It's so happy.
Like characters that don't really exist. where they're just like, these are the stereotypes, and they just have fun within that.
And they talk about her auntie. She says, yeah, my aunt lives alone, but she teaches piano. And so, you know, they take, but it's going to be a little journey. So they get to the stop, and it's like a bus stop backdrop, but you realize, oh, there's actually real countryside behind it because of the way they shot it. It looks like, oh, the backdrop's still going. It's like, no, you're now in another place. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of going to go over the river and through the woods, essentially, to auntie's house as they hike. And they do like a little roll call as well, too, out there. And so they're, you know, you see their little bags have their names that Julia said, oh, that's their names, actually, because you read Japanese as well.
I took Japanese for 2 years in college, and I can confirm that it is a very hard language to learn. But I can really only kind of read the basic stuff. And so mm-hmm. I know enough to know what this said. And I was like, oh, it is. Everybody's got their name right on their bag. In case you didn't know what their name was, there it is.
Confirmed. And so, you know, they're walking through there, and they are getting kind of lost, and they're trying to figure out where they're at. And they say that they were lost in another world, but they find this man who's got a watermelon stand. And he's creepy as hell. seems like they're talking to a ghost of some sort. And you know, he ends up pointing them to the house, but not after scaring them a little bit and being super weird. Yeah,
he's a terrifying performance, and he's on screen for so little time, but I think about him, he makes me a little bit uncomfortable. So well done to that actor.
Excellent work.
So we finally get to Auntie's house. We find out about her with this cat that they had, this white cat that was also with them on the train. Auntie is a lovely woman with white hair in a wheelchair, and seems quite fragile. And she was talking about like why she lives in this place all by herself, and mm-hmm. clearly can't really get around very well. So like, how is she navigating this huge house? Mm-hmm. So we talk about Auntie's lover in the past who got drafted. The actor they have for this character is amazingly beautiful.
So hot.
So beautiful. So she is waiting for him.
Yeah.
And he died in the war, but she is still waiting. So she doesn't know that he's dead.
Yeah. So that's she's been, tough. Yeah. All this time she's been waiting. Yeah, so Mac, it turns out, I stole a watermelon, it looks like, from the little man. And so they, you know, have this watermelon that they're going to put, they want to put in the refrigerator to have for later. But the refrigerator is not working because they, Auntie says, oh, no, like a bunch of stuff doesn't work here, like electricity. But we do have the old fashioned way of dumping this thing down a well to cool it off. So let's just do that, you know, and they do that. But in the meantime, the chandelier, when they go into another room, freaking attacks them. They get attacked by a chandelier. Okay. This is not like a Phantom of the Opera chandelier dropping. It's just like shards, like literally looking like they're going to come and like stab them. But the phone gets attacked. So now we know a piece of communication is going to be fucked up, which in horror movie, yeah. When you're in a haunted house, your phone communication not working, going to be a problem.
Yes, and we finally get to see Kung Fu in action. She has this little riff every time she goes in her Kung Fu jump that makes me so happy. I can hear it in my head. And I love that everybody's like, you're so cool, Kung Fu. Because she's just like immediately, oh, right, I have to fight with the chandelier. Let's go. And like is on it. I love that. Everybody needs a Kung Fu friend.
They do. And they've already like established that she's more manly than like all the other guys combined, like and all the guys and Mr. Togo even. And so it's kind of cute that she's just like, she's a badass. She's a badass. And Melody, her name is Melody, and she's going to play piano because that's her thing. So everybody's kind of got something that goes with what they do. And there's a skeleton in one of the rooms that patients used to get treated in, the piano room. So it's like was used as like, looks like an old timey, like pharmacy, like kind of on the shelves and stuff like that, too. The village used to be prosperous and full of people, but now it is not. But Mac is feeling hungry after being startled. She says she feels hungry. So maybe they're going to do some cooking and cleaning.
Oh, maybe they will. So they go and do some cleaning. Mac has been gone for a while. And so they're going to go out and pull that watermelon out. And when they pull the watermelon out, it is Maku's head, severed head. This is one of the images that makes me, when I think of this movie that I flashed to, it's like her little like crazy face in the well. and she flies around and she bites her butt. And it's really amazing.
It's
really amazing.
Pretty fantastical and super wild. It's actually kind of terrifying. Not everybody sees this, like what's happened. And so it also looks like a Thomas Kincaid painting in the background I wrote too, like as all of this is happening, like the colors are just so saturated and just so beautiful. So Fantasy's ass has been bitten, and she's talking about this decapitated head. Auntie eats and shows the eye as she's chewing it, but no one else can see it but Fantasy at this moment. And so she's just like, wait, am I going crazy? Or is this old woman eating a head right now?
Yeah, and so I don't
want to
eat it. They're all eating her. They're all eating Baku, and they all think that they're eating
watermelon.
So it's a kind of glamour that Fantasy is the only one who can see that there might be something wrong here. There is a bath-taking scene. We do get some nudity that we are both very happy about. We both cheered. As you should.
How are our boobs? But anywho, so there's bath time, but also there's like a creepy doll in this house as well too. One of the girls is out looking for bedding. The doll's got some weird laser eyes that we might have noticed from our cat earlier too. As this is happening, as the bath is also happening too. A lot happening all at once. And then Kung Fu's chopping wood. And she's hearing cicadas that are noisy and they try to attack her, but she realizes it's an illusion, but acts like, okay, some illusion just attacked me, whatever. Like, no big deal. Like, everyone's a little nonplussed about a lot of the magical, fantastical things that are happening around them.
Have you seen the world they live in?
Yes.
This is their life. Like, yeah. This is just not like par for the course. It's just going to be this insane all the time. So you probably wouldn't. Kung Fu fights so hard that she fights her pants off, which I like very much. Mm-hmm. Fantasy sees Auntie Narnia into the fridge, and she's the only one who goes up. Auntie is having a cannibal party, so she's having a great time.
Yeah, so there's a whole montage here where Auntie's dancing with the skeleton and makes a feast with her goldfish. Goldfish revival, like basically she like revives a dead goldfish she's using. So somehow she's getting the energy by being a cannibal here. You get that she's regaining strength because now she's not in her wheelchair. She's getting up and dancing. She, you know, is doing all kinds of stuff. Then we see the soldier photo, the fiance, and then we get a little story about this music box.
Yes, this gorgeous goes into Auntie's room and finds a picture of the boyfriend. So we know that that's all going on. But then seeing Auntie's face in the mirror as well, and the mirror breaks. So things are starting to get really fractured going on in here. And Melody during this whole time is playing the piano, and the piano's up to something. The piano bites her and nobody will believe her, of course.
Yeah, and the metronome that's like the little click, tick, 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 that's the thing that helps keep time, is like, you know, very insistent, and it's just it's kind of intense. And as the Skelly continues to dance and smile, and there's just like all these things enchanted around them, and it's just like, oh God, oh no, this house is really coming to life.
Yeah, because Gorgeous turns, mm-hmm. She catches on fire, and then is like transferring into the mirror in some sort of way, so she seems to be becoming one with the house, really.
Yep. So it's really kind of terrifying. So they, our Fantasy goes to look for Melody as she's screaming again. And, they're looking for, hoping maybe that Mr. Toga will come. Princess is hoping that Mr. Toga will come rescue her. And she's like, oh yeah, he'll come. And they're like, really? I don't think so. Like, you need to stop like living in that dream.
Now they can't even get out. All the doors and windows are locked, and they're totally trapped in there. It's like an occult movie, they said. So they try to find Auntie, she is now gorgeous. Gorgeous is now there. They have kind of taken place.
They are one.
And yes, they are one. They find a jar with Maku's hand and her ribbon, and Melanie gets eaten by the piano.
Chomped, chomped, chomped by this piano, but she's still playing just her parts, her bits and parts, her fingies and things like that, little broken phalanges. And this, all these strange things are just keep happening one after the other.
That sequence is so fun. Mm-hmm. It's so creative and it's so fun and unsettling because she's laughing the whole time it's happening. It's really beautiful. Shout out.
Well, and they have Kung Fu tries to fight her way out. She's like kicking the doors, trying to like, uh-huh, you know, break through the things. They're like, okay, well, let's find Auntie and then maybe she will let us know how we can get out of here. Yeah. And it's just like you said, you found that hand and it's just no good. And then they hear gorgeous singing, and Melody is entranced, you know. It's bad. It's all so bad. So
they see Gorgeous in bridal robes and, mm-hmm, they find poor Sweet, who is stuck inside of a clock, which starts to bleed. And then this cut to this thing is so fucking amazing. They cut out of nowhere to an insane ramen bar where Mr. Togo is eating ramen with, there also is like a bear at the bar eating ramen. And it's just out of nowhere and it throws you so hard and it's just so great.
It feels like you're like in a Studio Ghibli like food like cart stall moment, right? Uh-huh. Like it's so wild. So the Noodle Man, Noodle Man cut. Yeah. and so they talk about, you know, the guys are talking, they're like, oh yeah, there's no young girls in the village anymore. And because the lady up there at the top of the hill waits for her man to return. And they talk about, and we get a little more of her origin story, how she died many years ago and eats all the unmarried girls is what we find out. Mm-hmm. So this has been the problem all along. She brought all these unmarried girls up there.
Like a vampire. Her. Mm-hmm. She sucked an energy vampire.
Yeah.
I would like to say that they just say she stayed alive because she wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh, if that's all it takes, man, you know.
Yeah. Well, she also was feasting off of young people to maintain that energy. So I don't know if it's just that. I mean, that's part of the will, but there's also the way. So, and so basically you have to be married or die in this town. So.
An interesting one. The only way to save yourself is to get married for this movie. It's very interesting. Yep. So Kung Fu is sick of this fucking shit and just blasts her way through a wall and, mm-hmm, fights a ghost. The lamp eats her by her head. And then it's like she's like sucked into the afterworld. But then her legs come back out and she ends up kicking the cat and breaking the spell. So
she's trying to kill, still kick ass.
She does. Even in death, you're so cool, Kung Fu.
Yes.
Even in death, you can help your friends. So then the spell is broken and blood starts coming out of the cat's mouth on the wall everywhere. Cat's blood literally fills the entire house until they are floating near the ceiling. Just an ocean of cat blood, which I adore.
Come with me to the cat blood sea. So that's where they're at. They're like, it looks, it reminded me of like the end of, what's that movie, Titanic, I guess, where they're like on like a door, basically. Yeah. They're kind of like floating on like a piece of wood in the sea of blood. And
this is where Jim Cameron got this from. He was watching House 2 and he was like, this is it. This is the end of my movie.
Done.
I like that fan theory. That would make me like it better.
Honestly, me too. Me too. People know. Anyway, I don't know if people know. Yeah, James Cameron is not our favorite. So, anywho, but we love. We kudos to him for innovating cinema. I would love it if this was the fanfic. So, Mr. Togo is traveling up the hill to where the girls were, and he stops by the Watermelon Man, and all of a sudden, he's going to get turned into bananas.
Yeah. Okay. And and this is movie keeps you on your toes even to the last movie.
You like, think you know? You think he's just gonna stop there and maybe get up to the hill? No. This movie is literally bananas.
Yeah. People are transformed into yellow fruit in this. Uh-huh. So Fantasy is stuck on one of the Tommy mats trying to get out, and she just is. Transfixed by Gorgeous, and she goes over and she lays upon her bare bosom, mm-hmm, and is satiated by having someone to take care of her.
Well, after sitting there and being traumatized and she's writing on the sea of blood, I think that's, you know, after seeing her friend, the professor, get sucked right into her next to hers too, you know, in the blood flood.
That's a good one.
Blood flood. And
there
then
has to be a band called that. I would bet my life.
Blood Flood. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Blood Flood.
When are we going to start our punk band? This is the question.
I know we have so many great hits over the years. If we gleaned through our episode, someone like went through and just like, here are your titles. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Supercut that for us. We would love to know. Oh my gosh. But then we'd actually have to do it, which I'm fine with.
Honestly, I'm ready. We got the bass right here. I got an electric guitar over here too. Stepmom drives up and stops at the watermelon stand. She's, you know, I was like, oh no, not another unmarried lady almost to the house.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Future stepmom, because she's not married to dad yet. And she goes up there. Mm-hmm.
And she's gorgeous. And she is, let's be friends in this beautiful, in front of the sun. And they're going to be sitting in front of each other, very docile-like, and just looking. And mom does not seem like anything's wrong, even though everything seems wrong.
But she also goes like, well, she's transfixed because the house is beautiful and mesmerizing. Yeah. And so she's in this space. She's like, oh, wow, this house is gorgeous. I had no idea. And she's like, oh, but where are all your friends? She's like, oh, they're all sleeping. They'll wake up when they're hungry. And you're like, uh-huh. Hungry for your meat. Hungry for you, lady.
Yeah. So let's get rid of you. Goodbye. You lose. Good day, sir. But the moral of the story, this movie tells us, the one thing that never perishes is love. That's not what I would imagine the moral of this movie to be, but I appreciate that they're giving us something. I don't know what the moral of this movie is. I would say don't go to weird houses in the country, which... if you roll up and that's the ante, maybe don't go in. I don't know.
I mean, I have definitely gone to visit my relatives that live in the middle of nowhere in the country many times. I have family that lives in the middle of nowhere. It happens. People live in the middle of nowhere.
Shout out if you live in the middle of nowhere.
A lot of people who do it. I know you're a city girl and we love our city life because being around people makes us feel a little less alone and a little less, you know, like worried about that kind of thing. But some people like to be out there in the solitary and enjoy that. So
no, I get it.
Yeah.
So I will gore factor for you.
Yeah.
One is not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. Two is a puddle of blood. Three is enough blood to gush out the average viewer. Four is a bath of blood. And five is run for the barf bag. This is a five because there's a blood flood, an actual blood flood.
Like, you think about The Shining, but then think about, like, if they just let that room stay that way and then they kept shooting a scene while people are floating on top of that elevator blood. Like,
I can't even imagine shooting that sequence. Oh, my God. I don't even know how. They were so, like, far up in the frame. I can't even imagine. Amazing.
It's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Movie ratings. Chainsaws. One, if you're desperate. Two, barely qualifies as a horror film. Three, seen worse, seen better. Four, not too shabby. Five, fantasticorical. This is definitely a five for me. I'm guessing it's a five for you too, Julia.
It is, given that all out of five. All right, yes. And really, like, once you see the Toho logo, you're in for something fun. But then just the length this movie goes to of insanity, where I don't know what's ever going to happen. It's that kind of chaotic, like Young Ones feeling where I'm like, oh, okay, like we can go in any direction at any time. Just be prepared for anything. And I really love that about this film. There's also a musical number. It makes me very happy. But
it
creativity.
Has everything. It has everything. Like surprise after surprise. It's like unwrapping like a matryoshka where you're just like, okay, what's in the next, like, what's in the next thing? Oh my God, I had no idea what was going to be in there next.
Yeah, completely. It's so fucking awesome. I love the chaotic energy. It reminds me a little bit my head and my feelings of like Michel Gondry, where I look at his stuff. I'm like, how did your brain come up with that? My brain, like, and it makes me feel weird, but I'm like, how does my brain would never work that way? But that's the beautiful thing about art, right? Is like everybody's brain works differently. And like, this is kind of a look into, but you have to remember also this movie is from 1977. So this kind of, I can't think of another movie like this even now, really.
I'm sure there's some like art house experimental thing, but there's nothing that you're seeing, you know, like I haven't seen some mainstreamy thing, you know, that's this insane. Well, actually, you know what? I feel like the weird stuff, probably like Flying Lotus, I feel like did some really strange, has been making some strange stuff, but not like joyous, like this feels, you know.
Yeah, this,
this is just like shock, 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 shock.
Yeah, and this is, does feel joyous. It does feel like, even though it's like grim subject matter, it does feel like it's also fun, you know, mm-hmm. what I think is really unusual thing to be able to master in a horror film.
And not overly serious, but really fun. Yeah.
There's a head flying around biting butts, so you know you're going to get in for a silly treat. And I have to tell you, watching this at a packed movie theater at midnight, the people were laughing, dying into it.
Sounds amazing.
If you have any recommendations of other movies that you think are Haosu in tone or other sort of movies you would like to turn us on to, you can always reach us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we would love to talk to you about movies, full stop.
Yes. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again real soon. Yeah. Oh, you can get us all over the internet. Did we say that? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
I did. We also are on Patreon and Teespring.
Okay, great. So. Thank you. Double tap. My brain went, Okay, wow. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you go? Hi, we're still here.
I'm in the house. Everybody. In the house, too.
Thank you for listening. Horror Movie Survival Guide is independently produced by Terry Gamble, Julia Marchesi, and Sierra Ryan. Hey, that's me. If you would like to support the show, find us on patreon.com/horrormoviesurvivalguide.